Imagine a world where you are in complete control of every aspect of your life. We want to be in the driver's seat, hold the remote control, do the things the way we want them done. That world doesn't exist. The reality is, whenever we're trying to control something that's not ours to control, it is a reflection of a really big spiritual problem. We're trying to be like God. Today, week two of the series, I Choose, we look at one of the biggest choices you can make, and that is surrender over control. Here's your campus pastor.
We are starting our second week of a series called I Choose. It's about making the right decisions. And last week, what we did is we talked about choosing purpose over popularity. We ended with just making these statements. There's value in being liked by people, but there's greater value in being loved by and following God. And we said there's value in our comfort. There's just greater value in God's calling in our lives. We also had this challenge. There's value in fun with our friends, but there's greater value in the faithfulness of God. There's value in being popular. There's just greater value in serving God's purposes. So we were deeply challenged last week in this idea of choosing purpose over popularity. Well, this week, I think the challenge is as hard, if not harder. We want to choose surrender over control. So I choose surrender over control. Everyone say it with me. I choose surrender over control. Let's be honest with each other. We love to be in control. I believe there's a place in at least all of our lives that we just want to control it and not really give it over and surrender. Maybe it's at work. Maybe we know that if we do a certain thing the right way, the way we can control it, we don't have to deal with everyone else. So it's just easier to control it. Maybe it's in our home. Maybe we have the right place for the right items that we just got to control that. We just get tired of not having control. And maybe what's worse is we even control over our spouses if we're married. You know, we have areas in our lives that we know if we control it enough, we can control them just enough. Maybe it's with our kids because we want them to do exactly what they need to do, so we control them. I guess there's a reason why at home, there's a reason why it's called a remote control. I mean, I don't know who in your house, raise your hand, who's the like remote control junkie in your house? AJ, you got to raise your hand, man. You are like the dude. But there's a reason, right? It gives us control over that area. And if I could just be personal with you, there's areas in my own life as a pastor that I wish I could control you. I want to control you. I want you to be devoted worshipers. I want you to be on this journey of figuring out what it is to be generous stewards or humble servants. But if you know what I know, is that we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. It's God's doing the work. And as soon as we step in and we seek to control the situation, there's that moment or that time that we are really trying to be God. We're trying to be God to other people, and we need to surrender over that control. There's a scripture passage that I want to read to you that happens to be my word and verses of the year this year. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of you will be familiar with it. If not, this is a great opportunity for you to know a great scripture passage and apply this to your heart. I'll be reading it out of the NIV and then just doing a brief explain on it. It says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Beautiful passage of scripture. And as I briefly just explain it to you, there's really four steps in that passage of scripture. There's four parts to it that I want to allow you to best understand. Verses one, or the first three sections, are areas that we want to control, but we have to give to God. We have to let God control. The fourth is just straight up his promise, and we rely on his promise. Let's talk about them. Step number one, trust the Lord. With how much of our hearts? all of our hearts. Trust the Lord with all of our hearts. That sounds wonderful. Man, humanly speaking, that is a deep challenge. Then number two, the second step, I think if you're like me, this is bad, this is a hard one to learn, and lean not on your own understanding. Let's be honest, humanly speaking, I don't know that we think we're really smart or we just are stubborn enough to believe we're really smart, but we want to just lean on our own understanding and our own ways and really just take some steps of like, I want to trust me. I don't want to trust you, God. So the second part is really difficult because we want that control. The third step is, in all your ways, submit to him. So this word submit in other versions says acknowledge him. I want to help explain what this means because I learned something this week that I didn't know. Submit or acknowledge literally means to know. It's the same word used when Adam knew Eve. And so there's this idea of intimacy. So when we submit or when we submit all our ways, when we submit, acknowledge, when we know our ways and we give them to the Lord, there's this idea that we're trusting. We choose to trust him, surrender all the areas of our lives that we know that he, when we're intimate with our Father, gives us the opportunity to trust in him. And then the last part is his promise. It's a huge promise. And he will make our path straight. He will. That's a guarantee. It's a promise. And God cannot, will not, is not able to break his promises. When we think of surrender over control, I think we can each say it's an area of struggle. What is interesting is that God wants to make our path straight. He wants to do that for us. But we struggle with trusting him, to fully trusting him to do that. And there's no greater example that I can give to you that we still see the effects of it back in Genesis. Let me read to you a story of control gone bad, and I mean really bad. This is craziness to the biggest craziness I can best explain. It's a story about Abram and Sarai, who later become Abraham and Sarah. And if there's anyone who battled with control, this couple did. Let me just read this promise that God had given them. Genesis 15:5 says, he took him outside and said, God was saying to Abram at this time, look up to the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offsprings be. Right now, Abram is without kids. Abraham didn't have kids. He's given a promise that he is going to have so many kids that you can't even count them. It's like looking at the stars in the heavens. That's a pretty great promise, and Abraham knew God enough to know that promise was going to happen, this gigantic promise, but there's a problem. Time went by. Abram and Sarai couldn't have kids. More time passed, no kids. So what happens is also, in essence, Sarah at the time, she decides, let me just take things into my own control. Verses 16, 1 through 2 says this, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She wasn't able to have kids, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And when God's timing wasn't her timing, she decided to take control of the situation. Now Abram foolishly agrees with this. He sleeps with Hagar, and Hagar has a baby. Now maybe you're thinking, I guess Sarai's plan worked. It worked. They had a baby in the family. Here's what you need to know, and that loss of control, that loss of surrender, is something that 6,000 years later, we're still paying the dividends of that. We can watch it on the news. You hear about it all the time. Let me just help you understand. Out of Hagar came Ishmael. And that's where the Muslim people came from, and Muhammad. Now, out of Isaac, you have the Jewish nation. Isaac is, so Abraham and Sarah end up having a baby, and Isaac is the baby's name, and you have the Jewish nation, and out of the Jewish nation, you have Jesus. So to this day, this surrender over control, the Muslims and Christians are fighting constantly. It's a constant battle of who's going to reign. And we know in the end what happens, and the line of Jesus will win out. But the Muslim race has been a battle from the very beginning of time in Genesis chapter 16 over a decision of not surrendering full control to Yahweh. I think this is a huge lesson that we can learn. And maybe I can just simplify it into the reality of making it a little more personal for us. You know, maybe you're single, not yet married, and you're looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. And you're thinking, man, this is taking too long. I got friends around me getting married. I've got to do something. And so maybe you're a young lady and you're looking at a guy and he's like, hey, he's got a good job. He's got a great job. This might be the way to go. Or maybe you're a young man and you notice a young lady and you're like, she's beautiful. That's the direction I believe God is I'm to pursue. And it's this idea of, well, you know, they're not Christians yet, but once we get married, I'll change them, right? And so this idea of like maybe not making the right choices in those decisions and surrendering our control over to Jesus. Maybe it's in the area of our finances. You know, right now, it can be tough. What a unique season. I mean, if you think about it, gas prices are going up, wood prices are going up, steel prices are going up, cost of living's going up. And then you have the pastor periodically saying, learn to be a generous steward. Generous steward of what? I can't even pay the bills. And so there's this surrender over control. This idea of, God, I don't want to surrender my finances. I've got to control them. I've got to control them because I've got to survive. Will we trust God? And maybe it's how we parent our kids. Maybe there's an area in this. So kids, come on up. I've got a little illustration I want to show to you today. Kids, come on down. And I could just say, maybe it's how we parent our kids. I mean, we're kind of in a unique society. There's a statistic here I want to tell you. Recent college graduates, 8% of them went to their first job interview with a mom or a dad. And so we sometimes want to hold their hand so long that even when they're in the adulting stage, we still want to hold on to them. Maybe it's when they're younger, and we would call it helicopter parenting. And if you don't know what that is, when sometimes we have parents that they're so concerned for your safety that they want to provide at all costs safety for you. So, Age, I'm going to have you come up. Age, you can stand right here, AJ. And sometimes we got to bubble wrap them. Like, we got to bubble wrap these kids. So pretend you're going to the park. You hold that right there. And we've got to make sure our kids are safe. And so we like bubble wrap them up. And listen, we want to make sure that it's safety at all costs. You can tell how safety counts in our family as I'm putting plastic across his face right now. I won't do that. I think you get the point here. He's too cute to shout. You got to see at least his face. But kids, here's the thing. We can at all costs, as parents, want to control you. Now, as parents, I'll just caution you here. There's a way that we want to support and love you and make sure we're guiding you in the right direction. So you stay here. I'm going to let AJ figure out how he's getting out of this because I want to talk to you in just a moment. Let me strip this off. Alyssa, could you help AJ untangle him a little bit? Let's put our hands together for this beautiful model, AJ. So before, kids, I talk to you, let me just talk to the parents. Listen, even within our kids, we can control on a level that's not godly. And we can not surrender our kids to the Lord in a way that's very dangerous. In a way that we want to control them to the point that we don't let them learn how to make choices. So kids, this week, I also want to encourage you that you can control your parents in some negative ways. You can sometimes do things, like maybe it's a video game you want to play or a movie you want to watch or, you know, I don't know, there's a long list of things you like to do. Sometimes your attitudes, you know, man, if I have the right fit, I'll probably get away with it. And that's even an area where you are controlling a situation in which you need to trust God. And right now, God is saying, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's a very popular phrase that's repeated. Caleb and Lydia, would you mind just passing these out? I'm going to give you a verse for you guys to memorize this week. You can just stand up, pass them out, just pass them around to all the students here, yeah. This verse is the key verse of today, and it says, trust the Lord with all of your heart. On yours, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So, kids, this is what I'd request you to do this week. Maybe ask mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, wherever maybe you're just with friends, wherever your life brings you right now, to put this on the refrigerator. And maybe as a family, over the next week, days, month, you can memorize this scripture passage. And as a family, really lean into it and trust in God. Because listen, it's hard sometimes to trust. It's hard. And sometimes it's easier to control than to give surrender over to Jesus. And so, kids, I just want to encourage you, take a moment, memorize this so that you can put this into your heart, knowing that trusting in God is the most important thing you can do the rest of your life. Kids, why don't you head on back? Let's put our hands together for these awesome kids. What happened, buds? So let me ask you this question. The adults, let's get to an adult side of this question. What are you trying to control? What are you trying to control in your life? Maybe think about a person you might try and control, a situation. Maybe it's a thing, and you just know if you do the right thing that you can control it. Well, I want to give three brief questions. When is the right time to choose surrender over control? The first would be this. Is it worth my concern? So these are just three questions that help you guide through these. You know, when do I give this choose to surrender over control? Is it worth my concern? I think sometimes we just need to recognize it's not worth our concern. There's just times it's better to just give it over. We're just, why even be concerned about it? And maybe these will be personal for you. So let's start with potentially the guys in the room. Some of you might be this way. I've heard stories of guys this way. Maybe you're a guy that loves to mow your grass. Now, for all the guys that don't like to mow the grass, you just took an elbow to the rib just a second ago, okay? But maybe you're a guy that loves to mow your grass, and there's like a right way to mow the grass. I mean, if the lines aren't right, then it's wrong. And one day, you know, a family member or a spouse, a wife comes to you and says, hey, I'd like to mow the grass. You've got a choice to make here, right? There's like the, I choose surrender over the situation, or I'd rather control it because I'm better. I know how to make it look nice. So you decide, okay, honey, let's go for it. And I mean, she looks like a drunk sailor. Like, it's like terrible lines, and you're losing your mind, right? But you have to choose, is it worth it? Is it worth your concern, over something like that? Is it worth choosing to control that situation? And maybe this will help. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's the way we put dishes in the dishwasher, a certain area in our household. And I'm going to say maybe some of the ladies in the room would have this idea. Not always, but I've heard stories of wives being so particular in how things had to be done that they didn't want anyone else to do it. And I'll be honest, if you are fortunate enough to have a husband or someone in the house with you that even puts stuff in the dishwasher, that's probably a good thing. But maybe it's just choosing to back off and like, is it really worth your concern? Because sometimes it is. Sometimes there's areas that we just know that we can lead better in, but many times there's not. So the first question that we can simply answer is it really worth my concern? The second is this, is it mine to control? Let's just think about this for a moment. Honestly, I think there are sometimes yes to this. There are times that we can control in a situation that is God-honoring. See, there's a big difference between surrendering control and relinquishing responsibility. Let me just give an example. So let's just say you're messed up financially. You don't have faith that God can actually help you. So instead of surrendering over that control, you've just kind of relinquished the responsibility, and you've just decided, I'm just going to trust God just to send me a cat, you know, a bunch of money. Or you know what? I'm going to go for the lottery. And I'm going to just have faith that if I have enough faith, I'm going to win the lottery and all's going to be good. Or maybe you're silly enough to believe the like Facebook ad, you know, the Facebook things like, if you like this, if this gets 10 likes, you'll get $10 million. And you're like, hey. There's many ways that we kind of get duped. But there's a difference between understanding what you can control and what you cannot. Maybe think of 2 Timothy 2:6, where it says the hardworking farmer should be the first to receive the share of the crops. In other words, work hard, spend less, save for the future. That's something you can control. It's something that we can control. But there's also things where we just kind of give it to God in a way that's unhealthy, and it's not really controlling it in a way that's good. Now, finally, if it's something that is in that area, let's just go one more step, and this is where it makes the most sense. Is it for God alone? And this could be a challenging one. It's one of the areas that, to be honest, I think if you have a control issue, it's where we really struggle. I love the verse in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It's been quite personal to me. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And listen, and the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I wonder how many of us were anxious this last week. How many of us had anxiety in ways that we just like, oh, we couldn't give it over to the Lord. And you know, Paul wrote a great example in Philippians 4 of some steps we can take. The instructions are pretty simple. Don't be anxious about anything, but what do we do with it? Well, let's read it what it says. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. What a beautiful step for us to be on a journey of knowing sometimes when life seems out of control, we can fully surrender that over to God. What a beautiful thing when we think about Philippians 4:13 when it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because, I mean, come on, there are times when we need Christ's strength because we feel like we're at a breaking point. I love how the scripture passage, you'll see it behind me, 4, 6, and 7, Philippians, it goes on a little bit forward, and it says, before God with thanksgiving. Why can we go before God with thanksgiving? Because we can know he hears us. We can know he cares for us. We can know he is working all things for his glory, even in situations that we don't really know how to surrender totally to him. And the payoff is beautiful. We get the peace of God. And the peace of God, you can't dial in other than if God is working in your heart. The reality is we can't change our spouses through control. We can't change our kids through control. We can change our kids' diaper and help in that way, but we can't control our kids' futures. We can't control our bosses and how they act around us. And I believe the more we realize that we truly can't control many areas in our lives, that we can come to the place that we choose surrender over control. Let's say it again. I choose surrender over control. So when you choose to follow Jesus with all your heart, there's a beautiful thing that happens, and he gives you the opportunity to not trust on your own way of thinking, to rely fully on him, and he will direct our paths. And many of us today need to be reminded that as we choose surrender in obedience and following God, we can lay aside some of the hard spots where we just want to control it. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have had to briefly open your word, briefly hear just several verses that have great impact for our hearts. I do pray for just the journey that we are on and just the opportunity that we have to focus in on you. I pray that whether it be a small area of surrender over control or a large area of surrender over control, that we can take those steps today through this next week, and we can truly rely on you. Rely on you as we come before you with prayers and petition, with thanksgiving, and we're presenting our requests to you. So that the peace of God, the one who can only give peace in the storm, it'll transcend all the understanding of what we don't yet understand, and God will be with us in the end. So we're thankful that we can be anxious about, we don't have to be anxious about anything. So God, we do love you, and we love that we can be on a journey of figuring out truly how to surrender, to have surrender to you over control of situations in our lives. Now maybe there's someone here today that's never given their life to you, dear Jesus. They've tried to control everything. They've even tried to control their eternity, and they don't know where to turn. They are lost, and they know it. Or they have fought so hard to keep control of things that they're finally to the breaking point. And to be honest, I praise God that they're there. So if there's someone like that today that simply needs to surrender you to you fully, Lord, that they can take the steps, that they can trust in you with all their heart. They'll lean not on their own understanding. In all their ways, acknowledge you, because you will direct their paths. Allow them to lay their sins aside, trust in the one who died on the cross for their sins, and know that as a Savior, you will save them and make them who you desire them to be. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Charter Oak Church. We want to wish all the mothers out there a very happy Mother's Day. Stay connected with us on our website, charteroak.church, or on social media on Facebook and Instagram. Until next week, God bless, and have a great week, everyone.